नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेश नित्यां भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 27 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 एंड 25। चैप्टर एंटाइटल इंद्रा एंड सुरभि ऑफर प्रेयर्स। तत्र आगता तुम्बुरो नारद आदयः गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः जगो यशः लोक मल अपाहम हरे सुर अंगना सनन्द्रितः मूढ़ा अन्विता। तत्रागतास्तुम्बुरु नारदादयो गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः जगोर्यशो लोकमलापहं हरे सुरांगना सन्ननित्रुर्मुदान्विताः। तत्रागतास्तुम्बुरो नारदायो गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः जगुर्यशो लोकमलापहं हरे सुरांगना सन्ननृतुर्मुदान्विताः। तत्रार्गतास्तुम्बुरु नारदादयो गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः जगोर्यशो लोकमलापहं हरे सुरांगना सन्ननृतु मुदान्विताः। सिद्धचारणाः जगो यशो लोकमलापहं हरे सरांगना सन्ननृतुर्मुदान्विताः। तत्रागतास्तुम्बुरु नारदादयो गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः यशो लोकमलापहं हरे सुरांगना सन्ननृतुर्मुदान्विताः। तत्रार्गतास्तुम्बुरु नारदादयो गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः जगोर्यशो लोकमलापहं हरे आंगना सन्ननृतुर्मुदान्विताः। माताजी तत्रागतास्तुम्बुरु नारदादयो कंदर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणा जगो योश लोक मलाप हम हरे सुरांगना सन्नंदितो मदान्विताः तत्र टू दैट प्लेस आगताः कमिंग तुम्बुरु द गंधर्व नेम्ड तुम्बुरु नारद नारद मुनि आदयः एंड अदर डेमिगॉड्स गंधर्व विद्याधर सिद्ध चारणाः द गंधर्वास विद्याधरस सिद्धस एंड चारणस जगो सैंग यशः द ग्लोरीस लोक ऑफ द एंटायर वर्ल्ड मल द कंटेमिनेशन अपहम विच इरेडिकेट हरे ऑफ लॉर्ड हरि सुर ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स अंगनाः द वाइव्स सन्नंदितो डांस टुगेदर मुदा अन्वितः फिल्ड विथ जॉय ट्रांसलेशन तुम्बुरु नारद एंड अदर गंधर्वास along with the Vidyadharas, Siddhas and Charanas, came there to sing the glories of Lord Hari, which purify the entire world, and the wives of the demigods, filled with joy, danced together in the Lord's honor. No purport to this, we go to text 25. Tam tushtuvur deva nikaya ketavo जवाकिरं चाद्भुत पुष्प वृष्टि भी लोकापरं निवृतमाप्नुवंस्त्रयो गावस्तदागाम अनयम पयो द्रुताम ट्रांसलेशन द मोस्ट एमिनेंट डेमिगॉड्स चैंटेड द प्रेसेस ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड स्कैटर्ड वंडरफुल शावर्स ऑफ फ्लावर्स ऑल अराउंड हिम All the three worlds felt supreme satisfaction and the cows drenched the surface of the earth with their milk. Purport by the disciples is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Purport. The word Ketava means literally banners. The leading demigods are the emblems or banners of the demigod race and they took the lead in glorifying the Lord and covering Him with an amazing shower of multicolored fragrant flowers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale स्वयं रूप पदामयम् ददाति स्वपदांतिकम् वंदेहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपा सागरजाता सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतम् सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यदेशतारिणे हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते గోపేశా గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానోసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియై వాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ కమింగ్ టు దిస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ ద కంప్లీషన్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ కన్క్లూజన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వండర్ఫుల్ పాస్ టైమ్ ఆఫ్ ద కృష్ణ లిఫ్టింగ్ గోవర్ధన్ అండ్ ఇంద్రా హియర్ బీయింగ్ హ్యూమిలియేటెడ్ అండ్ ఆఫరింగ్ ప్రేయర్స్ అట్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్. సో అట్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ పాయింట్ వి సీ దట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ బీన్ coronated as the king of all the three worlds. Indra has performed abhishek, and at this particular point of time all the demigods are singing the glories of the Lord and showering flowers. So Krishna is now coronated as the king of all the planets. He is aptly known as Govinda, and all the denizens of the heavenly planets are very happy that now that acknowledging the fact that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. In fact, if you see through the life of this personality Indra, we learn a lot. We are also in some way Indras. We may not have big position like them, but then whatever we have, we pride on that. And by being proud about our achievements, our possessions, then what happens is that we also commit offenses. So by looking at Indra, we should try to analyze ourselves also, what we are also doing. In fact, Indra's particular activity, your particular actions here reflects our own deficiencies. One thing, of course, Srila Prabhupada mentions, the nature of this material world is that two things. It makes us proud of our achievements, and because we are proud of something, we also become envious of someone else. And second thing is that also when we get some position, we sometimes become familiar with someone who is also great. So Indra here, because of his position as a king of the heavenly planets, he had so much riches for himself to enjoy. So he thought that everything is for himself. There's nothing that he did not have. He had the damsels dancing for his pleasure. He has all the demigods under him. All the demigods in charge of the rains, instead of wind, fire, everything. 33 crore demigods are under his control. And, living a lavish lifestyle for him is a everyday affair for him. So he feels that everything is for his pleasure, And little does he realize that that particular post has been given to him by the Lord. He forgets that. We also are in the same situation, because when we come into this material world, we think that everything is for us, everything is for our pleasure. We acquire things And then we think that that's for us. We fight over it. Probably we just make attempt to just see that we just somehow or other keep them to ourselves. And then somebody comes to usurp that, then we become very angry. And then we just, you know, fight it out. And then ultimately we leave our body, leaving everything here in this world. So Indra here, becoming proud of his thing, he thought that all the sacrifices meant for him. And this was a great mistake that he did. He did not realize his own position, that who he was, and that he has been put in that position by the Lord. So when you are in that position, you should understand that, you know, I am not because of my own achievements. It's because the Lord has put me in that. Like how we have heard this wonderful story of a person who did not have anything. He was just wearing tattered clothes. And then, you know, a person employed him. He, because of his sincerity and honesty, he just, you know, was promoted to the position of a treasurer, and he was doing his work very sincerely. But then, as a nature would be, whenever somebody achieves that position, the others become envious also. So they would see that every day, after the whole day's work, he would go to in his room, he would open a very old trunk of his, look inside in the trunk, and then close it back. So the people who were working with him were envious of him. They were thinking that probably he has something hidden inside the closet, in the trunk. So they complained it to the owner. So owner, at first he did not believe that something like this can happen. But when he saw, he also saw that he is going inside and quietly watching, and then closing the back and going back to his room. So then one day he caught him. He said, "I want to see what is in the trunk." And then after so much of reluctance, he ultimately had to. When he opened the trunk, he saw the old tattered clothes inside. So he was asking, the owner asked him, he said, "What is this? Why are you doing this every day?" Because he assumed that probably he has siphoned off some money from the treasury and then gone and depositing in his trunk. But he's found the old tattered clothes. So then out of humility, this person tells his master that, "Actually, I don't want to forget my position, what I was when I came here. Now that I am in this position, is because of your mercy. It's not because of me. So I should always remember that, you know, this was my situation, that I was in this position. I had nothing with me, but now you have made me a very important person." So a lesson for us to learn that, you know, whatever we are at this moment of time, whatever position that we have materially also, we should understand that if Krishna wants, he can take it off any time. Somebody can be very famous. It doesn't take a moment for Krishna to pull him down. Right at that moment. It doesn't take 1 second and you slip down. We see in the newspaper, somebody who is famous comes down. It's not so difficult for him. Somebody who may be very rich, for him Krishna, it's not difficult for him to pull the person down and make him a pauper. Make him completely, you know, poor. So that's what has happened. Krishna, Indra, he thought that that sacrifice was meant for him. And because the residents of Vrindavan did not offer him, he became so angry that he actually sent the clouds which were used for pralay, the cosmic annihilation, those samvartaka clouds he actually sent them. Not the ordinary clouds, the cloud to just what destroy a small part of a land on earth, which is something, you know, you can understand how a person can become mad when he becomes angry. Because he was attached to his position, he was attached to the sacrifices that he was receiving, and then because he was attached to sacrifice receiving, and when this not given to him, when he did not receive that, he became bewildered completely and he became angry. And anger, what it got into? Nothing. It just somehow or other, you know, brought him into a very embarrassing situation. Like, he just hurt himself, tried to hurt the Brijvasis, but at the end, what happened? It became a very embarrassing situation for Indra. That was what is the position of Indra at this moment. He realized that, you know, all three, you find that the Leela going on, he realized that I am no one. And then ultimately he had to take shelter of Surabhi cow to go and approach Indra, the Lord. Because he knew that he cannot go directly. When he approached Brahma, he said, you cannot go directly and approach him. You have to go with someone who is dear to the Lord. And then only you can approach. Because a gravest crime when you perform, how can you expect that somebody can really forgive you for that? And then he went with Surabhi and then ultimately begged forgiveness. Glorified the Lord, begged forgiveness, and then ultimately crowned the Lord as the king of all the three worlds. So he acknowledged the position. Another thing what happens in this material world is the familiarity. Familiarity breeds contempt, you know. So when you have that power, you feel that you can do everything. And also at the same time, when you see someone who is great doing something very ordinary activities and then intermingles with you or mixes with you, you think that, no, this person is like me. He talks like me, probably he interacts with me like any ordinary person. So then you start finding faults with those people. Like Indra, he just thought that this particular child, you know, what does he think of himself? He did not realize that this person is a supreme personal Godhead. He did not acknowledge that fact. You know? So many times it may happen with us that, you know, when we interact with someone else who is a great personality, but then when that person out of his own wish interacts with us and you know, talks to us in a very friendly way, we sometimes forget what is our position or what is the relation with that. You know? And then we may commit a mistake or probably commit an offense. You know, it's very important for us to know. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, you know, was embracing one of his disciples. So then it so happened that the disciple also started embracing him. You know, the point we need to know is that out of his love, probably he may, but we should understand we cannot. Understanding that that's his mercy. I'm just telling a small thing, like incidents like this may happen many times in our life, and then we may think that, oh, this is natural. Oh, he's done this, I just. Or sometimes we may even out of, you know, family, we may just pat on somebody's shoulder, somebody who's senior, probably somebody who's elder. On the contrary, elders should be respected in every aspect. I am realizing this over a period of months, that, you know, you cannot go ahead in life without the blessings of the elders. Your father, your mother, somebody who is older by your age, you cannot talk to them in a way which is contrary. They are elder by you by age. You know, forget your parents, but anyone who is elder by age needs to be given that particular respect. You cannot just talk to them in a way which can be offending. You cannot just pat on the shoulder. They need to be taken shelter of. You have to offer the obeisances to them because of the age at least, if not for anything else. Sometimes we may pat on the shoulder of a senior Vaishnava, you know, laughing and giggling probably. That may be an offense. You know, we just realize that, oh, we should not do that, do those things. Very, very difficult for us, you know. And many times, sometimes we may take liberty to sometimes instruct or advise our seniors or elders, you know. That also is sometimes very heinous. It can sometimes cause damage to our spiritual progress too. So these are things one has to be very careful about. And problems, why it happens is because we are not acknowledging our own position. If we acknowledge our position as nothing but a humble servant, and in the eyes of Krishna we understand that we are nothing but an insignificant jivatma. So when you realize that, when you acknowledge that, then we can actually understand the supremacy of the Lord. You know, So Indra, after acknowledging himself that how insignificant he was, completely was smashed. His pride was smashed to pieces. The way things were happening. Can you imagine the Samvartaka clouds? He was dead sure that it will be finished. And Samvartaka clouds, as explained, were not going in a very nice way. They were also exhibiting their anger. It said that the clouds were also exhibiting their anger. So you can imagine their anger means pralay. Pralay means completely finished. Like I was just watching a video of the one somebody had sent on the when the WhatsApp, you know, something which shows how the flood, the tsunami comes and completely drowns the whole city. You know, in a flash of a minute, everything goes, finish. And this is just a small tsunami. And Samvartaka clouds means, you know, in a fraction of seconds, it does happen. Forget the town, small town of Vrindavan, the whole earth will completely finish. The whole cosmic manifestation is gone. That's what happens when Samvartaka clouds come. So Indra has committed such an offense here. So he realizes that he was no one. He realizes his position. And then he accepted him as the supreme personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada mentions that the moment somebody accepts someone, the Lord, as a supreme personality of Godhead with the bottom of his heart, then he is in a safe position. So then, you know, then he will no longer be overpowered or overwhelmed by pride. He'll never be able to commit any offenses by that particular activity. So it said that, you know, Indra acknowledged the supremacy of the Lord, and as Prabhupada mentions, that is a key to become humble and also submissive. So here we find that how the different denizens of the heavenly planets, they are coming and they are also singing the praises of the Lord, and they are offering wonderful flowers, and that's what the Lord is for. Lord is called as Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means he is the one who is being praised by the choicest of the words. And he is the only one who is due for that. He is the only one who is the recipient of those, of that glory. Krishna, through times immemorial, has established through his activities and his leela, his supremacy. Through his different incarnations, through his different activities, through those incarnations, he has established his supremacy in different fields. And as a supreme personality himself, when he comes here, he also establishes his supremacy. He exhibits so many wonderful qualities, extraordinary power, his wonderful interactions, which shows that he is the supreme. And then when somebody glorifies him with the choicest of words, with love and affection, out of love and affection, then that personality, supreme personality Godhead, receives that and very happy to receive those glories. It's said that Prabhupada mentions that, you know, Krishna, like if somebody even glorifies him with broken words also, but it's offered with love and affection, Krishna accepts it, just as the father accepts the broken words of a child. On the other hand, somebody out of pride just does something or offers, Krishna doesn't accept that. Krishna accepts everything which is offered with love and affection, in fact. So the devotees here, if you see the denizens of heavenly planets here, they are having a festival. They are singing the glories of the Lord. It seems the wives are filled with joy. They are dancing together in the Lord's honor. All the three worlds were supreme, and their cows drank the earth. It said that they drain the earth's surface with their milk, and these demigods, they scatter wonderful flowers all around. This is like a festival happening in the temple. It's like a push abhishek. So we find that devotees are having nice kirtan, and then everyone is dancing, and the flowers are showered on the Lord, and the Lord is very happy. And that's what is deity worship here. So everything that's happening in the temple is for the glorification of the Lord. Like what happens here, the deities are dressed in a very nice way, beautifully dressed, so that it attracts our minds and hearts. We sit and hear the glories of the Lord. We dance and chant for the glories, for the satisfaction of the Lord. And then we offer flowers also. And then we honor Prasad, which is Lord's mercy actually. So that's how Lord is only one who is worthy of glorification. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his conversations, he was mentioning that unfortunately in this material world, people glorify somebody else and then bring him or her to a pedestal, and that person becomes famous. But then, you know, that person becoming famous, it's not going to, in fact, help you in any way or help that person in any way. Because by glorifying that person becomes proud. And by you glorifying the person, it doesn't help you in any way. But on the contrary, if you glorify the person who is due the real glorification, then it will also help you. And definitely when it helps you, just you become purified completely because you are in contact with that personality who is all pure. So, the Lord is glorious. I made an acronym for glorious, so I thought I'll just share with you. Just for my understanding, for me to remember also. I should not forget like Indra, because insignificant that I am, I may forget my position and I may also commit so many offenses, and which I am committing also, every one of us too. So it said that G stands for greatness of the Lord. Like, you cannot expect anyone to be as great as the Supreme Lord. Aivashwarasya samagrasya viryasya jashashashriya jnana vairagyascheva shannam bhagitikana. He says, Lord is full of these opulences. He is strongest of the strong, wealthiest of the wealthy people, all famous, beauty, knowledgeable, full of renunciation. Every one of us know that. Right? Who can not be as famous as the Lord? Lord is famous. Even if somebody says, I don't believe in Krishna, he's still famous because they're talking about Krishna only. Right? Otherwise, why will he talk about Krishna? No, because they feel threatened, that's why they say, I don't have faith in the Lord, I don't have faith in Krishna. So that way is famous either way. Beauty, everyone knows about. Fame, wealth, knowledge. And how great Krishna is. He does so many things in such a wonderful way that, you know, we just can't understand how these things are happening. You know? So, it's said that, you know, well, in this material world, somebody may say that, oh, I am great, but do you have all these qualities? Whereas Krishna is full in all these qualities, full in all opulences. And then not only is full in all opulences, somebody was, he may be great, but he may not be lovable. He may be having everything, but he may not be lovable. But Krishna is lovable. You know, he said that, you know, what do you mean by somebody lovable? That means you should have some qualities which will make someone get attracted to him. It's lovable. You know? So Krishna is great, but at the same time, he's so lovable. He is loved by each and every one. He enchants everyone by his smile. He enchants everyone by his activities. You know? The bees hover around him. It's said that the immobile becomes mobile by seeing his beauty. The deers, the cows, the monkeys, the parrots, the birds, all types of living entities get attracted to him because he's so loving. The devotees, they are ready to go to any extent just so that, you know, they can come very close to Krishna and love him and serve him in that way. So it's said that, you know, Krishna is lovable because with the devotees of his relationship, Krishna reciprocates with each and every one. Unparalleled in history. There's not a time that where Krishna never reciprocates with his devotees. He reciprocates with devotees in each and every aspect, each and every rasa. That's the relation that Krishna develops. You know, somebody may like to have it in reciprocation in a virya ras, like Bhishma. Krishna also reciprocated in that way. In any way the devotee wants, the Krishna reciprocates in that. Who can do that in this world? And he reciprocates in a way which is very pleasing to the hearts of the devotees. And also, why is lovable? Because of his forgiveness nature. You know, sometimes we may like a person, but if he doesn't forgive, then we may not. But Krishna, after all these things, he may still forgive. He is forgiveness for all us. For so many lifetimes, we have rebelled against him, but still he loves us. And that's why he makes himself very lovable that way, because of his qualities. Indra is the example here showing us. It's not like Krishna just smashed him completely. Like, he forgave him also. He just, now go back and do your job, he said. Just few verses before he said, now, you know, I do all this in your devotees so that they become humble. Now you just go back to your place and do your duty. Just very casually just, you know, forgive. That's the quality of Krishna. In fact, I still remember one devotee, after preaching for a long time, the person was not becoming a devotee. So then this devotee approached his spiritual master, and said, I want to give up on that person. The spiritual master said, don't give up. Pray for that person. So then the devotee realized, suddenly, that what am I doing? He said that same thing Krishna is doing with all of us. If Krishna would have just, you know, lost all hope on us, where would we have been? But because Krishna is a well-wisher, Krishna is always there behind us, that's why we have some hope. So that's what he does with all of us, that with spite of all our stubbornness, our revolt against him, he still just forgives. He's like a nice father, lovingly just, you know, taking care of us and waiting for us to come back to him. Krishna is glorious because he is also well organized. You know, it said, Om Purna Adha Purna Purnat Purna Muddachyate. He says, Krishna is perfect and complete, and everything that emanates from him is perfect and complete. So how can anything in this world be unorganized? Everything is organized. Like, we can actually predict, now it's winter, the summer, rainy season, spring comes. We can very nicely, without any effort, we can just walk along the beach of Marine Drive. Because we know that the sea will not cross its limit. We know for sure that sea will not cross its limit. Sun rises at a particular time. In fact, the astrology predicts when the sun will rise also. When the moon is going to set also. Before even the sun rises and moon sets. You know, that means how well organized Krishna is. Everything he orchestrates in this world in a very, very organized way. Personally also he is well to do. You know, if you see him, it's said that when he goes out of the house, he is also well organized. He just personally also. He tucks in his flute, bugle, his turban, his peacock feather, everything, he just wears it properly and goes. That's one thing. But outside he's so organized everywhere. Just perfectly organized. In fact, yesterday I was with the cardiologist friend of ours who works in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So I had some time. So I told him, I want to see how you do angiography. So he said, come in the room. So he made me sit in front of the screen, and the person was doing angiography, and I could see the whole thing pumping around, you know, the dye and then going to different veins. And then he came out and he said that sometimes I become amazed the way the whole thing works. He said that when we put a pacemaker inside, the pacemaker works for only 8 years or maximum 10 years. And then you have to replace. And what is a pacemaker? Pacemaker was one which releases, you know, sends electric impulses for the heart to pump. Or the heart will not pump. But naturally, if you see, who is pumping? Krishna is pumping each one's heart for not 2 years or 5 years or 8 years. for as long as other 70 years, 80 years, and not one person, two persons, all the living entities in this world. He's like a supreme pacemaker, you know. If the heart stops pumping, then finished. So he was saying that, I just can't believe if somebody says he's a, you know, I don't have faith in God. How can that be possible? He said, when I see the heart pumping, I just can't have the thought that Krishna doesn't exist. He says, I have to have that thing in my mind that Krishna does exist, because how can that happen? That the heart is getting pumped. While I'm talking, the heart is pumping here without a pacemaker inside. So that's what is there. Now this is a small activity, but then he says everything in this world is like this. And we cannot replicate that. We cannot make a pacemaker, we can survive for lifelong. We have to change. But Krishna's is very nice. So Krishna is glorious because he is also reliable. Trustworthy. No one can be as trustworthy as the Lord. We can always rely on him for everything. Why? Because Krishna is achyuta. He doesn't fall down in any circumstance. We may have, or we may put our trust in the people of this material world, but then those people may, you know, cheat you, or probably they may fool you, they may some other reject you, or they may die also. But then Krishna is someone whom one can rely on throughout. And he'll never make us feel disheartened, or he'll never make us feel that he is not trustworthy. Through all the great activities or the pastimes that he interacts with the Lord, with the devotees, you know, great devotees in the past, as we see from the scriptures, they have reposed their faith in their Lord. You know, the Pandavas, for example, whatever hardship they have, they just have that faith in the Lord that he is there with us. Prahlad Maharaj underwent so much of torture, but still he had that. One of the symptoms of surrender is that Rakshishati Iti Vishwas. Krishna is there to protect us under all circumstances. So most reliable one. And said the Lord is glorious because he is indisputable and is indispensable. Though we may sometimes say that I don't need the Lord's mercy, but indispensable, it becomes necessary for us. We need to take his shelter. We need him all circumstances. Somebody may externally say, I don't need. But for everything we need him. In different ways. For breathing we need him. If you stop the air, then finished. We can't survive. Right? So for every one of us, he is there, indispensable. And then he is indisputable. Nobody can dispute his supremacy. He is there at all times for the devotees. And Krishna is glorious also because he is ornamental. When you are talking about ornamental, that means Krishna is decorative. Once his holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj mentioned that when he decorate the Lord with garlands and the dress, it's not that a dress makes the Lord beautiful. It's the Lord who makes the dress beautiful and the garland beautiful. If the garland is separate from the Lord, then the garland doesn't. The moment it's on the Lord's body, then the garland also looks so beautiful. So similarly, in our lives, like when we accept Krishna in our heart and we decorate ourselves with Krishna in the form of his holy name, in the form of just following the orders, then we become beautiful. That's how Krishna becomes ornamental. As Prabhupada mentions that, you know, when my devotees wear tilak kantimala, they look like the denizens from the heavenly planets. They just look like people from Vaikuntha. You know, it's true that somebody who may apparently look very ugly, but then when they wear a tilak and when they chant the holy name, they look so effulgent and look beautiful. They look so beautiful. Just, you know, chanting the holy names, serving the Lord and his devotees, wearing a tilak, kantimala, and wearing a simple dress just makes a person look so beautiful. You don't need external perfume or makeups for making someone look beautiful. That simplicity makes someone look so beautiful. Why? Because that person has accepted Krishna in his heart, has taken shelter of the Lord. So that's why Krishna is ornamental. It says Krishna makes the garlands beautiful. Krishna is also glorious because he is understandable. It said that Krishna is very sensitive to everyone's feelings. He understands, as you know, in our class at Sion, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu made a very nice statement. He said that Krishna, many times what happens, we just go by the words and then we infer from those. But what does Krishna do? Krishna sees the emotions behind what has been spoken. You know, like the lawyer, sometimes they only take the words and then they, you know, try to infer from there. But Krishna is not like that. He just, you know, sees the emotions behind it, the motive behind it. And Krishna is very sensitive to the feelings of his devotees. Just like here in Indra's case, we saw how, you know, Indra was taken to a very secluded place. It's not like Krishna, you know, Indra wanted to just offer obeisances to him, and Krishna was in a very, at one place, very secluded place, and then Indra went there and offered obeisances. And the Acharya says that maybe Krishna did not want to humiliate Indra. That's the reason why he just took him in a separate, so that, you know, he is not so much humiliated. Like Keshav Kashmiri, when he was humiliated by, you know, when he was defeated by Nimai Pandit. So he just took care of him such a way that he is not humiliated in. That's one thing. But Krishna understands each and every living entity, his motives, and then deals with those persons accordingly. That's why it's called as Bhakta Vatsal. He just understands. If somebody offers him with prayers, with love and affection, Krishna accepts it. Krishna sees the motives behind the offering. That's why he's. And Krishna is glorious because he is spotless. He doesn't have any, you know, mistinted character, tainted character, you can say. He's always spotless. Whatever he does, you know, he does it with such a grace that nobody can really point a finger at him. He's so spotless. And that's why he's worthy of shelter also. That's why I said he's ashraya. We can take shelter of the Lord because of this particular characters. He's spotless also and is worthy of taking shelter. So because of these particular qualities of the Lord, that's why it behoves one and all of us to actually wholeheartedly take shelter of him. Wholeheartedly glorify him. Glorify him to the fullest for his wonderful qualities and his reciprocation with all the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that one should glorify, but how do you know how to glorify? He says we should glorify. We can know how to glorify only by the instructions of the spiritual master. It is said that, you know, the glorious, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Krishna's glories become more potent when it is heard from a pure devotee. So these glories of the Lord, we understand when we hear submissively from a bona fide representative of the Lord, a bona fide spiritual master. That's why, as a sadhaka, as a devotee, we always should be grateful to our spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada, for whatever we have. And an expression to that, of that, in the morning program, we always, as soon as you rise in the morning, we always glorify the spiritual master. And the end of our morning program, when we chant or finish our chanting, we also again glorify the Lord. Glorify the spiritual master. We do that. And that is what we should. So anytime, whenever in the morning when we sing the Sansara Dhamma prayers, we should actually be grateful to the Lord, to the spiritual master for what we have been given. Express our gratefulness and chant with gravity. And at the same time when we have Guru Puja also, we have to also seeing those glories with that same intensity, same gravity. Shri Guru Charana Padma, you know, like Kevala Bhakati Sadma, Bandhamuni Savadana Mate. Prabhupada at one place says, Bandhamuni Savadana Mate means you have to be Savadhan, you have to be very, very serious about it. You have to understand that it's not because of this Guru you cannot survive. He is the only person who can give you that. And when you take shelter of him, then you can perfect your life also. So, this is what I wanted to share. And ultimately, we all, through different activities, we just would like to glorify. As here it's mentioned that, you know, another thing of showering flowers. So this also, as Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in one of his lectures in Pusha Bhishek, he mentioned, it's an expression of our love to the Lord. That's why we are offering. In fact, everything in this world, what has been created is for His pleasure. Why do you think the flowers are different colors? So that those flowers can be offered to the Lord. And because, you know, Krishna likes variety. So the varieties of flowers with various colors are an offering to the Lord. So in fact, the perfection of those flowers is that when it's used for glorifying or for, you know, decorating the Lord and His wonderful body. And then ultimately we take those flowers as mercy and use it for ourselves. But then understanding the fact, and he went on to explain that how the different devotees are also like different flowers with different qualities, with one single purpose of lovingly serving the Lord and His devotees. In the Pushya Abhishek, when we offer, we are actually offering our heart, our loving service attitude to the Lord. And when you do that, then the Lord accepts us. Accepts us as flowers and accepts us symbolically also our flowers. And that becomes mercy. So then that's our perfection of our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharar Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.